It's a massive honour. When I started playing netball for England, I never thought that I would have the privilege of leading an England team.
We're really excited to have another pinnacle event in the UK for our sport, and our sport's only going to grow from having it on our home turf.
We want to be playing on the world stage and we want to be playing against the world best, so we'll go in without any fear and really, really looking forward to that battle.
The Netball Show from the 2019 Netball World Cup in Liverpool.
It's a Netball Show with Mizuno, day whatever it is, from the Netball World Cup in Liverpool. This episode we hear from Dan Ryan and Niamh Cooper, who got her 50th cap today, and Lisa Alexander and Caitlin Bassett, as Australia beat Malawi 74-25. And we extend the Netball podcast love as well, and speak to Betty Glover and hear from Amarek Bazy as well, after a special live discussion of netballers.
The Netball Show from the 2019 Netball World Cup in Liverpool.
Something a bit special though first. Why don't we find out what Anna Stembridge has been making of the tournament so far?
Moments that have caught my eye so far. So number one has to be the 100 club. We've seen Caroline O'Hanlon receive her 100th cap for Northern Ireland, and Claire Maxwell for Scotland receive her 100th cap, as well as Bongi Masomi receive her 100th cap for South Africa. And then our two English roses in Jo Harton and Ebony Osoa-Brown receive their 100th cap versus Uganda and Jamaica, respectively. We also saw one of our English umpires in Gary Burgess officiate his 100th international game on Monday, and he's actually only one of four exclusive umpires to join this club. So we definitely should be celebrating it and mention it on this podcast. Number two is England's game against Jamaica. England came into this match in great form and have been able to run their squad in all their pool games so far. And actually, it was probably the first real test for them, and to win it 56-48 was just fantastic. They had a strong start, and what was really impressive to see is how they responded to Jamaica's comeback, both towards the end of the first quarter and that second quarter. They came out after halftime, all guns blazing, and to win that third quarter 16-10 was very impressive. They just left Jamaica wanting, and although the last quarter saw a draw, it was far too late from Jamaica. Serena Guthrie was insanely good in this game, putting her body on the line for her country, and it really was a captain's performance. Jeeva Mentel again displayed another very experienced performance, and one which we'd expect from world's best keeper. Number three has to be the South Africa game versus Jamaica. South Africa were absolutely sublime. And similarly to the England game, that first half from South Africa was brilliant. Carla Pretorius is fantastic. She is probably world's best at goal defence at the minute. She provided them with critical turnover when they need it, and she contributes hugely on their attacking play. What was great to see that Norma Plummer ran a couple of subs, because I think that's been one of the questions with this South African side, is have they got the breadth and depth to make changes as and when they need them? And what we see, they do.
A special day for Niamh Cooper, who got her 50th international cap in that loss against New Zealand this morning.
It's always an honour to go out and play for Northern Ireland, so we never take for granted any test cap, so getting 50 is a big achievement. And playing Silver Ferns, I mean, one of the best teams in the world, I was relished the challenge of going out and testing myself against the best teams, so I really enjoyed it out there today.
Of your 50 test caps, is there any particular one that stands out?
Probably the first game we played in the Commonwealth Games in 2014. It was probably my first game at a major tournament, so that's probably one of the big test caps for me that stands out. But every single one is fantastic. I never take anything for granted.
Do you still get nervous ahead of one?
100%. I mean, everyone gets nervous out there, especially in the tight games, you know. I think it's normal to, and I would be worried if I didn't.
Yep, that still means
you. Yeah.
So, talking about this one in particular, you've gone from having Gina Crampton to Bailey Mess, who's a much taller wing attack.
Yeah.
How do you adapt to something like that?
It's difficult because the smaller wing attacks sometimes pop on the body and you have to really focus on getting off them. And the taller ones, they do the same movement. You just have to be very aware of where they are in the court, you know. So I don't really change my game plan as such.
I'm always focusing on the same things. So what their player does doesn't really matter, you know, and what they look like doesn't really matter.
Yep. And you had a very heavy knock in the first half. How do you get up, shake it off and still get on with the job?
Oh, guy was grand, you know. I suppose it's just part and parcel of the game. The whole non-contact thing in netball is a bit of a myth these days, I think we all know that.
It is, yep.
So we're used to it at home, you know. We challenge each other in training. There's plenty of knocks in training, so we're very used to it. Fall on the floor, get back up again.
And how's the legs feeling after 5 days of tournament?
Yeah, they're not too bad, actually. They're better than I expected them to be. We have a rest day tomorrow, so we'll be making sure to use that to the maximum. We have a wee bit of training, but it'll be nice and light, and we'll be making sure that we're well rested and prep for Barbados on Thursday.
It's enjoyable for us. What's it like for you as this home World Cup?
Oh, it's brilliant. Like, the excitement about everything has just brought our game even to a new level. You know, we've been able to have family and friends over watching us. My mum and sister were here yesterday, and it's just such a buzz. Whereas when it's away, as much as it's always really nice to go to some foreign country, you know, having family, friends, supporters here just really lifts the whole atmosphere. And when you're walking around Liverpool, you know, everyone's sort of saying to you, oh, you're in the World Cup, you know, and it just makes you feel sort of maybe more special, I suppose.
Yeah, the team's
obviously grown into the tournament then.
Yeah. We have improved day by day, and it's the learnings that we're taking from each game that's most important. So we might make small mistakes, but we learn from those. We figure out what do we do there, how do we change it up and put it into our game for the next day. So we've been doing that really well, and it's something I would say our girls have really taken pride in.
Dan's benefited your game as well?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, Dan's fantastic.
What's Dan Ryan made of the Australian and New Zealand style of play so far?
So yesterday when we spoke, you said that you realistically expected to not win that game, but you were going to take some positives.
Yeah.
What were the positives?
Yeah, I think we put ourselves into some good positions early in the game in terms of the game plan we were trying to execute. We just lacked a little bit of finish at times, and we knew that it was going to be tough. We're trying to open up some spaces and open up the other side of the court, and we're getting so close to the moment where we're about to nail it, but then we just got the rush of blood and couldn't execute in the last moment. So they really gave it a go, because we obviously tried to, you know, we had a look at some video, and we knew that their style of play was going to be very challenging for us, and we haven't played a lot against the Kiwi style before. So I think probably the biggest thing out of today's game for me was the way we finished the match. And I think sometimes in those games, for the countries like us where the scoreline does blow out and it's difficult to get through it, sometimes it's about how you conduct yourselves. And I thought their fight to the very, very end was sensational, and some of the netball they were playing in the last quarter, beautiful passages of play and great confidence. So you can just see some of the skills that the group does have, and I really enjoyed seeing them just go for it and finish it off with in a real professional manner.
There were a few patches there where I noticed there was only sort of one person on the lead, or, you know, they were dropping back for those sort of loopy passes. Would you credit that to fatigue, or is that more of just, you know,
I think, yeah, I think it's a number of different things. Obviously, the longer the week goes on, decision making does start to get a little bit clouded and legs do start to get a little bit heavy.
Yeah.
But also to the style of defence from New Zealand. You don't have a player riding you like you do against the African nations or playing against the Diamonds. You've got someone sitting in a space lurking to hunt the ball, and you think you're free, and all of a sudden they come flying through. So I think, you know, we did set ourselves up for failure at times with some dangerous cross-court balls in a lateral position where they just come flying through on the line of the ball, which was, I guess, awesome to watch from their perspective, but a bit of a headbanger for me, because we did talk about that. But it's one of those things, you really don't learn that until you experience it out there. And a lot of those players that were out there today have never played against the Silver Ferns or their style. So you've got to keep it in perspective.
Dan, we're well familiar with some of your very experienced players, but who are some of the young ones coming through that really excite you?
I've really been impressed with Emma McGee, our young goal attack. She's only 21. She was in the World Youth Cup team in 2017, but got injured, so couldn't actually play. So this is her first major tournament, and her fearlessness to attack the post, some of the power and explosive nature in the way she moves is awesome, and she has just embraced every opportunity against some amazing goal defenders, and she hasn't stepped back. And I've loved seeing her grow and learn, and just some of the conversations that I'm having with her is really seeing the penny drop in her learnings and her growth, and I'm really getting a kick out of that, because, you know, she's probably the future of the team when you look at the growth of the group going forward. And her younger sister, Michelle, who's only 19, is doing really well in the back too. She was scrapping and fighting for ball against some of the best goal shooters in the world today, and she loved the occasion. So they're two of the players that I've really enjoyed watching grow. And the good thing is all of them have had their moments throughout the World Cup, which has been great to see. So hopefully hopefully with the next couple of games we have, we can lock it down, get a couple more wins and experience the winning feeling.
Now, Dan, you've played both Australia and New Zealand. Now, they're very different styles, but how do you sort of see both teams shaping up?
It's a really good question. I think really distinct polar opposite styles of play, and we're seeing the Silver Ferns back to the unique Silver Fern style of netball. We're seeing some brilliant offline defence. We're seeing some great angles and creativity in attack. And Australia, we're seeing just ferocious one-on-one defence with some mix-ups in there that they haven't had before, and you know, some supreme skills in that front line too. The biggest thing is they are unbelievably conditioned athletes. Like, they look unbelievable. They're strong, they're powerful, and the depth on the benches for both teams is amazing. So it's hard to pick between those two nations, and a lot of people are saying who's going to win it, and I don't think we'll know where those two countries stand until they go head-to-head on Thursday, because neither of them have really had a challenging match yet, where we've seen, I guess, England stand up to Jamaica, we've seen South Africa stand up to Jamaica as well. So we know where those two teams sit. But yeah, I can't wait for the Aussies and Silver Ferns to see where it all plays out.
So is that something your girls will be watching?
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, I think this whole World Cup for them has been about learning. And, you know, you learn from watching the best and playing against the best. And in my group, I've got some real students of the game, which I've loved working with those types of athletes. So there'll be players sitting there that just love the stats and facts, that love the patterns of play, that love watching the very best of the best go about their business. So we're watching with interest, and you know, they can go home and say, we played against these players. So it's a great experience nonetheless.
So as a coach, do you sort of say to them, well, look at that, you know, this is how we do this?
Yeah, absolutely, because that's how some of them learn. Some of them will learn by pointing things out and watching some video, and some athletes in my group are very good like that. Others need it in a drawing, some like it being walked through on a court, and there's others that just need to feel it and experience out there. So the World Cup's kind of giving us all those opportunities to do it, and the best part about tournament coaching is you've got time with them to actually sit down and do that stuff. So, and it's quite continuous, which is really good, and that's where the growth comes. It's rapid growth from the players, which is a really cool process.
For you yourself, Dan, you've had experience you know, coaching in Australia and in the Vitality Super League as well. How have you enjoyed this experience so far, and what are you learning as a coach?
Yeah, so much. I think I come into this opportunity with real perspective around what it was going to offer me, and I didn't worry too much around end results or rankings or where the team was going to go. For me, it was around the process of building the team's skill sets and getting the strategies and structures that they didn't have previously in place and seeing them implemented under pressure. And we've been doing a really good job at that throughout the week. And I think for me, it's all about the coaching process. So reevaluating what's working, what's not. How do I need to change some things? Obviously, there's games where there's so much to work on. So from a coaching perspective, prioritising what's most important to the group, keeping it really clear and simple. And then also, I guess, preparing the team for the very varying styles of opposition we play against. So day one, we had Australia that wear you down and make you incredibly uncomfortable. Then we had an Asian nation, African nations, and the styles are just so different. So from a coaching perspective, it's great analysis. And, you know, you've got to come up with creative ways to present game plans and different strategies to do things within your overarching theme. So my coaching's growing all the time. My skill set's evolving. And even working with this group too, the Irish culture is a little bit different to the Australian culture. So you think about the human element of coaching, of how to best connect with the group and get the best out of them, and the conversations you need to have. I'm loving all that stuff. And so are the players, I think, too, in most parts. And, you know, I think when I picked up the team, even though we're not having the results we would have wanted, they're certainly heading in the right direction and have improved. And, you know, only one team can win this World Cup, and the rest need to be able to acknowledge where the growth and success sits with them. So for us, although we're not winning the matches we would like, or falling short in those games, we're improving and succeeding in a number of different areas. So I've loved the whole experience, and to, you know, 16 coaches in the world get to coach at a World Cup, so you're really grateful to be here and you make the most of it.
Australia beat Malawi 74-25. Here are the thoughts of Lisa Alexander.
Lost a bit of our way in that last quarter, a few basic errors that just shouldn't creep in, but that's tournament play and we'll have to make sure we don't do that on Thursday.
You managed to get all your players out there, or the majority of today.
Yeah.
So what is the idea? I mean, obviously you want to preserve players but also give them the footing as well.
Yeah, that's right, and it's part of, you know, the fact that we've got such a strong 12, and we're still having a look at combinations at this stage, but I think after today we'll look back at the initial group stages, etc., and we'll make our decision about who we're going going to put out on court against New Zealand.
How closely have you been watching the Silver Ferns, knowing, well, once you knew that they were the big team?
Yeah, no, we've been watching them pretty closely the whole week, so keeping an eye on the scores and knowing that obviously both teams are going to be fairly evenly matched, so it's going to be a great game.
Captain Caitlin Bassett gave us this reaction.
There was a lot of hard work being done across the defence, but also the attackers trying to help the defence out to slow that ball down.
Yeah, it was quite a different second half to first half, and obviously you did have more personnel changes, but do you think maybe the Malawians just started giving to you a little bit more?
Yeah, look, they're obviously a country that has so much pride, and we can see at times, you know, how athletic they are out there, and the things that they can do are just spectacular. So look, I think the timing definitely changed up a little bit. There was a little bit more physicality, but I think it's just with different combinations and things like that, which settled nicely in the end.
You do have the luxury of having a massive lead and a lot of depth, and you know, bringing on Sarah Clough to goal defence had two very tall players against two very short players, and that was very effective. They started to score, you know, 7 to 10 goals a quarter.
Yeah, look, I was watching Sarah out there, and I think for someone so tall to be so mobile is awesome, and to have that option of her and Courtney back there. But almost at times, you know, they were having to bend down almost to get their hands down for intercepts, which was hard to do, and we got a little bit of contact and attention from the umpires from that. But no, look, I was really happy. Their combination's coming on really nicely, and it's nice to have that option in defence if we need it.
I found also that when Kelsey came on, sometimes she ran to the pockets quite a lot and she wasn't noticed, but then in the fourth quarter she started to dominate the feeding. What was the difference?
Yeah, look, I think when you're coming on in an international test, it's a lot harder than if we're just doing it back at home, and countries that you've never played against before, you kind of don't know what they're going to do. So I think when Kelsey kind of settled and we got that ball to her, that's when she's most comfortable, and we can get her on circle edge and feeding. That's really her strength.
It can often be a bit more nerve-wracking watching. I know this match wasn't particularly close, but how do you feel when you're watching the game? Do you feel nervous?
Yeah, look, I was saying that to April before we came out. Obviously in January I sat and watched those three tests, and I felt overwhelmed with nerves because you almost feel powerless sitting on the sideline, and I think she felt the same way. So for me, I think when I come off and I get to sit on the bench, because you're still a part of the game, you can actually relax a little bit more knowing that you can come on if you need to, whereas if you're not even getting to sit on that main bench, you can almost feel powerless at times. So hopefully we put her mind at rest. She was a big inspiration for us today.
A lot of fans are very interested about the dress. Can I ask you about that?
Yeah.
So we wanted to know...
And what did Kate Cornish make of the game?
Hey, Netball Show. Here is my 1-2-3 and MVP for the Diamonds versus Malawi match. Diamond dominance. There is no other word for it. Full-time score was 74-25. Australia has been leading up to a defensive performance like this, and unfortunately for Malawi, it was against them. In Malawi's defence, they will be disappointed with today's performance, but they can be happy with the fourth quarter effort that they put out. They only lost by 2 goals, and Australia perhaps did take their foot off the gas pedal in the last quarter, but still, Malawi can be proud of that fourth quarter effort. Malawi are the darlings of the Netball World Cup, but they really did themselves no favours today. They looked tired and flat. And again, it's not a criticism of Malawi. Today was their fifth game in what is an incredibly grueling format of play, and they were coming off a tightly fought win against Northern Ireland. In contrast, the Diamonds looked fresh and have not been pushed so far this tournament. Lisa Alexander threw nothing bold at us in the way of combinations, and the game did go as expected. We did get to see again today Courtney Bruce and Sarah Clough in a defensive combination, and the more I see that, the more I like it. So that's exciting for Australia. And Malawi were missing Maui Kamwenda, and she's definitely one of the most prolific shooters in the game at the moment. But even without Maui Kamwenda there, they really were having trouble getting the ball simply into the goal circle for at least the first 3 quarters. Such was the suffocating defence of Australia. And Malawi were kept to their lowest score today of the tournament at 25, and actually that is the lowest score in their World Cup netball history. The Bassett and Thwaites battle at goal shooter is shaping up to be a good one. I find this one really interesting. I did say the other day, and I do stand by this opinion, that Caitlin Thwaites is our in-form goal shooter this tournament. It's incredibly hard to be critical of Bassett because she still manages to put up a swag of goals every game, and accuracy is not the problem or what I'm referring to. I'm talking about the physical pressure applied by goalkeepers in the circle, and that's the difference that I see at the moment between Thwaites and Bassett. The usually strong hands of Bassett in 2019 have looked soft at times, and when she's going up for the ball, it's just not as strong as what I've seen in recent seasons. She's being muscled off the ball, and this has happened. This even happened in today's game as well. In contrast, I feel like Katie Thwaites is holding her ground really strong. She is contesting the ball stronger, and in terms of safe hands under the post, I don't think they come any safer than Caitlin Thwaites. So she would actually be my starting goal shooter. Knowing New Zealand, we expect the Diamonds will be tested for the first time against our old foes, the Silver Ferns. They've started this tournament really well, and despite a shaky 18 months, they're certainly looking like the dominant team that we're all used to. Because both the Diamonds and Ferns have so far not been tested, we will see in this game where their form really sits. They've both been so dominant that ironically it's hard to tell just how good they are. What we do know is that this is a game of netball that fans will not want to miss, and one that the Roses will eagerly await. The Roses were triumphant against their first real test in Jamaica, and both Australia and New Zealand will be looking to come away with bragging rights in this game. Psychologically, the win will be really important. I cannot wait for this game. My MVP today was Courtney Bruce. She played 60 minutes at goalkeeper and had an absolute field day. 6 gains, 1 intercepts, and 9 deflections. She's been really superb for Australia this tournament.
For the first time in my playing career, I've been able to play pain-free and completely focused on my game.
I found a shoe that makes me feel close to the court and in control of my movements.
After a long history with bad injuries, it's a relief to have found a shoe I feel confident in playing with on court. That's why I love the Wave Phantom.
That's why I love the Wave Sail.
That's why I love the Wave Mirage.
The Netball Show from the 2019 Netball World Cup in Liverpool.
It's a Netball Show with Mizuno. Let's extend the Netball family podcast love as we speak to Betty Glover, who hosted a Netballers podcast discussion tonight. And let's hear what she's making of the tournament so far. Betty,
hello, lovely,
how are
to
doing?
Meet you.
Welcome from the other podcast.
The famous Andy Lamb.
You're the famous Betty Glover, who I always spend time listening to in my prep.
Oh no, we listen to you as well, so it's brilliant. I feel like it's lovely because our two podcasts kind of complement each other, along with Netball Nation.
You know what we need to do as well? We need to do, you're young enough to remember Live Aid.
Yeah.
Totally off the cuff thing, but we should all get together and do a big massive
single cast
event.
That would be very good. We'll get our bubblers in.
It'll be a technological nightmare, but let's look to sort that out.
Absolutely.
First of all, we're in Liverpool. How important is it, something like this here?
I think it's amazing. I think after the Commonwealth Games gold medal that England won, we needed something that was going to be on home turf to really keep that momentum going. And I think that's exactly what this World Cup in Liverpool is doing. And I think it's absolutely incredible. I mean, the atmosphere, like I said in there, is just insane. I think we've got so many fans. We've spoken to just so many different people from different walks of life. Netball has brought them here in different ways, whether it's dads bringing their daughters, whether it's women that have played netball for their whole lives and they're coming here with their big group of friends. I know somebody that is in their 60s and there's 12 of them coming to watch the netball for the weekend, and that's incredible.
The whole atmosphere as well around the place, obviously you've been here as well, and it's just the vibe is really, really strong.
Oh yeah, the vibe is brilliant, and those Zimbabwe fans, they are amazing. I can't stop going on about them.
Were you in the crowd then when this started up?
Yeah, loved it. And you know what, they just bring so much energy, and it just completely changed, because think about football, and it's full of, you know, mostly male supporters. They've got their chants, and it's, you know, it's all very similar kind of vibe, and this, it's so nice to see a sporting event that's attracting women and different types of people from all different walks of life, like I said earlier. And those Zimbabwe fans are just bringing it.
And they weren't even on that first game. It was the second game, and they were, like,
I know, and
really
they were
getting
still
in
there. Yeah. And I remember on Australia were playing Northern Ireland on one court and Zimbabwe were playing on the other court, and you wouldn't have even known the world number ones were in the arena because the Zimbabwe fans were just so loud.
The plaza and the village as well, that's keeping everybody busy as well. Have you managed to catch any of that yet?
I haven't. I've just been confined to the arena.
And it's stood like, on top of a box.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like being locked in a disco for hours on end, and I haven't seen light, but I'm not complaining because this is something I've wanted to do for my whole entire life.
And it's not the coolest down there, is it?
It's not the coolest. It's very sweaty. It's very hot. But it's brilliant.
But the nice thing is, it's getting the spot out there. You're doing Netballers podcast.
Yeah.
We've done ours. Sarah's there as well. And the more the better, really. I'm well up for things like this to promote the sport.
Absolutely. We need as many people as possible to just get behind the sport. And that, I mean, you know, having more podcasts, having Sky and the BBC working on it, having, you know, loads of social media outlets there. There's tons of journalists. I've spoken to journalists from The Guardian. I've spoken to journalists from The Telegraph. I've spoken to journalists in Australia, New Zealand, everywhere. There were some Jamaican journalists I was talking to the other day. And it's just brilliant. We need to get this sport as much coverage as possible.
Best person you've spoken to so far, Claire?
Ooh.
The Aussies, have you noticed? Yeah. As and when they're walking by, you're just like...
I went and interviewed the Australians the week before this World Cup started, and I was just taken aback by their confidence. Their confidence is insane. And okay, so they're tall anyway, so they have that air around them. But I said to them, you know, you've lost to England twice in a row now, two big major competitions, Commonwealth Games and the Quad Series. Are you coming to Liverpool with England on your mind? They're the team to beat. And they said, no. Not at all.
Yeah.
New Zealand are the team to beat.
South Africans as well. They're staying in a hotel and causing up a bit of a frenzy.
They're staying in my hotel. I had breakfast next to Norma Plummer the other day. Insane.
It's pretty nice. So everybody's chipping in and they're all around the venue, which is really good for everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. It honestly is amazing. And I think it's such a weird, unique atmosphere here, because at the Football World Cup, you wouldn't walk around and, you know, have breakfast with England, have your cereal with Harry Kane, and then go to another hotel and you know, see Portugal there. But here, you walk around and you see the players and you engage with them, and I think that's so important for the sport as well.
Best of luck with the rest of the tournament.
Thank you so much. You too. Lovely to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Good day.
Hi, how are you?
Not bad.
Oh.
never met you before. Emma, World Cup in Liverpool. It's pretty exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. I think just the way the city's embraced the World Cup, the fans, the excitement, the buzz, the cheering, the crying, the stress, it's awesome.
Have you been enjoying the telly bits much?
It's so different. I didn't realise how hard it was. I think playing and training is so much easier than what happens on the other side. It's pretty stressful. Everyone says practice makes perfect, but the more I do, it doesn't get any easier. I feel like I'm just getting more and more tired. But I guess it's similar, the players are getting more tired.
Yeah.
I've not had a rest day yet. I thought today was going to be my rest day, just like the England girls, so I could pretend like I was in the team. But then I had to work, so no rest for the wicked, I think.
Is it nice where you say, like, camera on? Or is it a bit, like, weird?
It's weird. I think I'm always just second-guessing myself. And if you just stand here without a camera, I can talk about netball. But then as soon as the camera goes on, I start juddering and stuttering and mixing my words and not knowing what I'm going to say. So it's very stressful. And I think people think, oh, presenters have such an easy life. But I've got an appreciation, and it's not that easy.
The cam's in lockdown, but have you been sending sneaky little WhatsApps?
I've caught up with some of the girls. The camp is, well, I guess it's weird, like Liverpool is, it's open. What's really nice is everything's so close, and so you can walk to the venue and the girls can walk to the venue, and it's sort of like that interaction between fans and players. And so yeah, just catching up with the girls, and I think they don't want to focus on netball all the time, so just getting some downtime is great.
Unless you get a bus back and forwards to the hotel if you're the Diamonds.
Well, sometimes you don't want to, actually it's all about recovery, and so it might not be that far, but if you add up all those little one percenters by the end of the tournament, if they hadn't got that bus and they'd walked up and down, by the end they'll be feeling that, so it's probably in their best interest to get a bus.
And what about this increased interest? Are you noticing that? from the crowd and just being out and about?
Yeah, massively. I think on day one, I didn't eat or drink from 6 a.m. till midnight. And it was basically, I did do quite a bit of work in between, but it was basically being stopped by fans to talk about netball, celebrate netball, have photos, talk about Commonwealth Games, talk about England's chance at the World Cup. And so I think to have that in England is completely crazy to me. In Australia and New Zealand, yeah, I've experienced that. But in the UK, this is unprecedented. So I think it's testament to how well netball's doing in the UK, and hopefully it doesn't stop here, hopefully it just continues.
And the fact there's all these podcasts doing it, the fact that BBC are involved, the back of the Sky is as well, you want it to last, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. And I know that Sky and the BBC have great plans for netball, and it would just be how they work. And the Air podcast, the more and more, I know that you guys were one of the first on board, but now you've got competition. But I think it's just great for
it's
netball.
It's healthy, I don't mind.
Exactly. It's just great that people are interested in netball, and competition is great because it makes you better. And so I'm just excited for the future.
It's wrong to pin you down on final spots, so I warned.
Oh.
But what have you made of South Africa?
I've not actually watched one of their games from start to finish because I've been working on other games, but the bits that I've seen, they've been really impressive. I think they took confidence from their win in the Quad Series in January over England, and I think they've just grown. They just look like not a completely different team, because I think they've been showing signs of this for a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised at how they're performing, but I'm just really proud and impressed, and hopefully for them they can continue like that.
Busy couple of days ahead.
Definitely. I think Thursday is the hot day. Australia, New Zealand, England, South Africa. And it's kind of probably, for most of the teams, it's the biggest test of the tournament so far. England had that test against Jamaica, and actually it was almost, no one's talking about it because it was so one-sided. So yeah, Thursday is the big day.
But you wouldn't change a thing?
I'd get some more sleep.
It's a massive honour. When I started playing netball for England, I never thought that I would have the privilege of leading an England team.
We're really excited to have another pinnacle event in the UK for our sport, and our sport's only going to grow from having it on our home turf.
We want to be playing on the world stage, and we want to be playing against the world best, so we'll go in without any fear and really, really looking forward to that battle.
The Netball Show from the 2019 Netball World Cup in Liverpool.